I'd say that for most Christians, we want to grow closer to God, don't we? And I believe that for most of us, that's not just an answer you'd give because I asked you in church. I believe it's not just an answer that people give because they're asked in Sunday school or because they're in front of an elder. I think it's an honest desire of most of us that we really desire deep in our hearts to grow closer to God. And I believe that we get frustrated day in and day out because we don't seem to be growing closer to God. Or at least not at the rate that we would like to. You know, we know that we should read our Bibles, we know that we should pray, but we just aren't. Not with the frequency that we need to be. Not with the frequency that we'd like to be. Not really enough to nurture that relationship with God. So what's the problem? I think Joby and Ken spelled it out pretty clearly last week, that we live in a paradox of life. A paradox of life where we try so hard to get life. And in the process of trying to get life, we end up coming up shorter and shorter each day. I believe Jesus understood this. I think Jesus knows a little bit about something, you know, about how we tick. Because he said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. In another place he said, whoever wants to keep his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Joby shared last week that we spend more time in the bathroom than we do in God's Word. That broke my heart. I want to help fix that statistic today. So today I want to share with you five ways that you can cut back on your time in the bathroom. I'm telling you, if we can get that under 10 minutes, we can flip-flop that whole statistic. Amen. Actually, I'd like to look at what I feel is a major obstacle in our ability to grow closer to God. If you would go on and turn with me to John chapter 10. John's the fourth book in your New Testament, the fourth gospel there. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. This word good is better translated as the model shepherd, or the perfectly beautiful shepherd. In saying this, Jesus is saying that of all the shepherds of all time, all the shepherds past, all the shepherds present, all the shepherds future, I am the Mac Daddy shepherd. That's what he's saying. Really, he's saying that of all the people who have done this job of shepherding, of all the people that have worn the name tag and on the top of it says shepherd, he says of all those people, none have done nor none will ever do a better job at shepherding than I. Now, to some people, a statement like that coming from Jesus would sound awful conceited, wouldn't it? But for those of us who know the truth, we know that's absolutely true. Jesus does the same thing for us that the shepherds do for their sheep and taking care of their life. Two major things that shepherds do for their sheep. They protect them and they care for them. In protecting, what they do is they keep anything from their sheep that would harm their life. And in caring for them, they give them everything they need to get life. Now, there's one big difference between the care that the shepherds give their sheep and the care that Jesus gives us. And the big difference is that Jesus is dealing in eternal life, abundant life, life to the full, found there in verse 10 of chapter 10. In layman's terms, Jesus offers us more life than we could ever imagine. He protects us from anything that would challenge or harm that life. And he cares for us in a way that he just gives us anything and everything we would need to have that life. Abundant life. Eternal life. Now, I don't expect any of you to be sitting out there going, "Whoa, I never knew that." Right? I mean, this is pretty common knowledge. You haven't learned anything new this morning. I'm not some amazing teacher that's brought before you some brand new thing, and you're going to walk out of here, wow, I have something new. This is common knowledge, not only for those who follow Christ, but for those who have not yet made that decision to follow Christ. It's pretty common to know that Jesus is a good shepherd. He takes care of his people. He feeds them. He provides for them. He protects them. My concern isn't that you lack this information, but rather that many of us are not experiencing the shepherding of this model shepherd, of this beautifully perfect shepherd. I mean, a good measuring tool is to look at yourself and say, am I experiencing abundant life? Or am I running ragged? Am I experiencing more life than I could ever imagine? You know, it's not Jesus' fault. We've already covered that. He's perfect. He's the perfect shepherd. He's doing his job, and he's doing it better than any other shepherd has ever done. So the fault must lie in us, that we're missing out on this for some reason or another. Back in August, we had a short message, a short series of messages called Closer to God. Now, this message series is on our webpage, as well as a lot of the other message series, and it looks like this. If you go to the Closer to God page, and you'll find those messages there. This morning's message will join those. So if you go on the webpage looking for this morning's message, you'll have to go there because this sermon was originally part of that series. In that series, we talked about the importance of communicating with God through prayer. We also talked about the importance of the power of God's Word and how important it is for us, each of us, to have a personal, consistent Bible study time. These are two very fundamental ways in which we can grow closer to God. And that's our goal as followers of Christ, isn't it? Yeah? We want to grow closer to God. We want to grow in that relationship with God. And most of us would claim that we have some sort of a relationship with God, wouldn't we? Yeah? Head shakes? I mean, if I were to ask you to show a raise of hands of how many of you believe that you're actively participating in a relationship with God, I believe we'd have every hand up, or at least the room would be full of hands. You wouldn't be able to see the few hands that weren't up. What if I asked for a show of hands on this question? Do you recognize the voice of God? I'm not so sure I would have as many hands raised. And this concerns me. Because in this passage, Jesus places a great deal of importance on listening to the voice of God. Let's read some from this passage in John chapter 10. And I want you to notice how often in this passage, and I'll be emphasizing it, how often in this passage that Jesus mentions knowing or listening or recognizing the voice of God or being able to distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of others. Chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, or only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus, Emmanuel, Emmanuel means God with us. See, Jesus was the form that God took when he came down to earth. God incarnate. And here, Jesus, God on earth, refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. Jesus thought it was important to hear, recognize, and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. To be able to hear, recognize, and listen to the voice of God. And logically speaking, those of us who say we have a relationship with God, we claim, I've got a relationship with God, we should recognize his voice, shouldn't we? And that's just logic. If I have a relationship with God, I should recognize his voice. I have a relationship with my wife. When the phone rings, even if I didn't have caller ID, I should recognize who it is on the other end, right? Husbands, we'd get in real trouble if we just stopped them once they started talking. Say, wait, who is this? Right? We should recognize their voice because we have a relationship with them. I recognize the voice of my mom and my dad when they call. I have friends. I do. And some of them aren't imaginary. And when they call, that is the non-imaginary friends, I recognize their voice. And I know who they are. Even pets recognize the voice of their masters, don't they? You guys who have pets, your dog or your cat, they recognize your voice, separated from anyone else's. My dog, my cat, they know my voice because we have a relationship. See, if I have a relationship with God, that means I spend time with God. That means I spend time in his word. That means I'm talking with God regularly. That means that I actively participate in sharing my life with God. If I have a relationship with God, I should recognize his voice. That's just a simple fact. And as we read Jesus' words here in John chapter 10, we also learn that it is absolutely necessary to recognize the voice of the shepherd if we claim to follow him. How are you going to follow God if you can't recognize his voice? I must recognize his voice in order to follow him. That's not something we can put off or procrastinate. That's not something we can put on the back burner until it's convenient for us to work with it. Until it's convenient for us to figure out, okay, I need to learn God's voice today. Oh, I don't have time today. I think I'll put it on the schedule for next month. This is important. We can't follow God if we don't know his voice. How can you be sure that you're making good choices for yourself? How can you be sure that you're making good choices for your family or your loved ones or good choices that will affect your friends if you cannot tell God's voice from the other voices that you hear? How can you make good choices if you cannot confidently say, yes, I recognize God's voice? Much less being able to say, I listen to God's voice. See, when the voice of God is familiar to me, it helps me know what voices are not from God. Jesus says that his sheep will not follow a stranger. Why? He said that they'll turn and run from a stranger. Why? What's his reasoning? He said because they don't recognize their voice. I believe we've allowed too many voices to become familiar to us. I believe we've made acquaintances with voices that should have remained strangers. I believe we've made friends with voices that should have remained strangers. And we've welcomed these voices into our lives. All these voices from different directions, and these voices that should have remained strangers, they make it very difficult for us to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd. In VBS this past summer in the classes, we played a game that served as an object lesson. And we picked one of the children out, and that child was to pick a friend of theirs. Well, the first child that we picked out, we blindfolded that child. And then after the child was blindfolded, the teacher placed up two signs on the walls at different places in the room. One side said, good choice. One sign said bad choice. Now the goal of the child's friend, the one that did not have the blindfold, their goal was to lead their blindfolded friend to the good choice only by using their voice. No one in the room was allowed to touch the child with the blindfold on. Now here's a twist. All the other kids were told to lead them to the bad choice sign. And so you had this just group of kids all gathered around this one little poor blindfolded kid. And they're all just screaming in their face at where to go, giving them directions, telling them to go here, go there, go there. And they had this one friend that was giving them the right directions. I tell you what, that week a lot of blindfolded kids went to the bad choice sign. And when we pulled the blindfold off of them, they said, I should have recognized my friend's voice. I know that friend. But it was so hard with all those other voices yelling at me. And it was confusing, they said. And as an adult, we say, welcome to life, kid. Right? We say, life's confusing. Get used to it. I don't think it has to be that way. I don't think life has to be confusing. I think life's confusing because we've allowed all these other voices. You know, if we truly recognize God's voice, we will hear it above the rest. And life isn't confusing when you have one voice from the perfect shepherd telling you where to go, telling you what to do, telling you how to have life, and protecting you from things that would harm that life. When you have one single voice that cuts through the rest. You know, many of us have played sports. A lot of us have at least been to a sporting event. And you know that during the game, there are numerous amounts of people on the sidelines, and they're all just screaming and yelling, right? Well, as one from experience, on the field, and some of you who have been on the field, you know this to be true. Out of all those voices screaming and yelling, you can recognize your parents' voice, can't you? You hear your mom's voice. You hear your dad's voice. You recognize your coach's voice, don't you? Some of you might be saying, well, yeah, that's just because my dad had a big mouth. Might be true. But I believe that those voices cut through that crowd because you recognize those voices. I believe those voices connected because you knew the person behind that voice. I believe you heard those voices because you wanted to hear them. You were listening for them. You wanted the encouragement of your mom or your dad. You wanted the instructions of your coach. You wanted the encouragement and the instruction of a voice that was from someone that you trusted, from someone that was familiar to you, from someone that you spent time with, from someone that you were close to. Knowing and following the voice of God is not only an essential, but it is a foundational piece of growing closer to God. And I believe this is a major obstacle that keeps many of us from growing closer to God. We don't recognize His voice. So how do we know who to listen to? I mean, some of us recognized His voice enough to become a Christian, but after that we stopped listening. We stop trying to decipher His voice. How can we know who to follow if we cannot recognize the voice of the shepherd? So what does God's voice sound like? James Earl Jones? The voice of Mufasa and Darth Vader? And what are some ways that I can hear God's voice? Well, here are a couple ways that we can hear God's voice. The first and obvious way to hear God's voice, the voice of God, is when it's read directly from Scripture. This is God's Word. Get ready now. It's called God's Word because it contains God's words. I hope that's not new information. It's God's Word. You can hear God by reading His Word. And we read it many times in this book, in the New Testament, that God spoke to His people through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself was said to have been led by the Spirit. You have Peter and Philip and Stephen and Paul and the apostles and many other Christians in the New Testament, followers of Christ, Those of us here this morning who have been baptized into Christ, we have been given this gift of God that lives inside of us. Have we neglected such a prized gift? A lot of us live like the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist. The Holy Spirit, the counselor that Jesus spoke of, that would guide us in all truth. We can hear the voice of God by being guided by the Holy Spirit. I believe that God speaks through divinely appointed circumstances and situations. I believe there are times and places where God aligns things in such a way in our life and in our surroundings that He is trying to communicate something to us. We see many examples of that in Scripture, one of which would be at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down on Peter and the other apostles. And it was during a festival, and the people accused Him of being drunk. They had a chance to walk away. Peter saw that as the voice of God. He saw that as a divine appointment. And because he took advantage of that, 3,000 people were added to their number that day. You know, we call these open doors and closed doors, don't we? These times and events where things mysteriously appear before us, or other times when we're trying to get something, but it just seems we can't. And we realize later, wow, God must have been keeping me from doing that. Another way we can hear the voice of God is through peace. We're told in Isaiah 55 that we are led in peace. Now, that's just one verse in Scripture, but it's consistent with God's voice. We might be led into unpleasant situations. There may be turmoil all around, but I guarantee you, if you've been led there by the very voice of God, there will be peace that accompanies you. Peace that goes beyond understanding. Now, the question that many of us have at this point is, how do I know? Right? How do I know when God is speaking or it's just my imagination? Right? Many of you guys know me. You know I've got a pretty wild imagination. So this is an important question for me. How do I know when it's just my feelings or when God's actually speaking? How do I know when it's just something that I've imagined or when it's actually God? How do I know when God is speaking through a situation or a circumstance? How do I know that He's guiding me by the Holy Spirit? Well, one thing that I've found that holds a lot of weight in answering this question of how do I know is simply that the voice of God in its various forms will not contradict itself. If you're hearing a voice and it contradicts itself with something else that's a voice of God, it's not the voice of God. So don't follow it. Don't listen to it. If a situation says one thing, but you're not being led in peace, maybe you ought to slow down and listen a little more carefully before continuing. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will not lead you into a place that is contrary to the Scriptures. The voice of God is one voice, even though we can receive it in these various forms. It's not going to say something different. So if you feel like you're hearing the voice of God, run it through this test. Run it through the other three forms. And if it checks out, get crazy. Step out of your box and follow the voice of God and see where it leads you. If you look down at verse 19, after Jesus had spoken these words, the Jews were divided. And they said to each other, they said, why listen to him? Why listen to this guy? He's demon-possessed. Or some of them were saying, he's a lunatic. Why listen to him? Well, others were saying, how can a demon-possessed man or a lunatic open the eyes of the blind? Jesus does not leave room for sitting on the fence. There is no gray in who he is. You either have to write Jesus off as a lunatic, or, as many of us here have accepted, he is the Son of God. Once you've made that decision, then you go back and you ask yourself the same thing that these Jews were asking themselves. Why should we listen to him? Well, if you believe he's the Son of God, why shouldn't we be listening to him? So listen up for God's voice. Skip down with me to verse 26. These words of Jesus in chapter 10. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. There's a story in the Old Testament about a boy named Samuel. He was laying in bed one night and this voice calls out and says, Samuel. Samuel gets up and he runs in the next room to a guy named Eli. He says, I'm here. What do you want? What do you need? And Eli is just half asleep. He's kind of like me when Jesse's feeding little Judah. Just, oh, turn the lights off. You know, I help feed. Okay, I'm not that bad. So Eli wakes up and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. Crazy. So Samuel goes back to bed and he hears a voice again. It's, he goes back into Eli and says, all right, dude, this isn't funny. I know you're calling my name. I'm not calling your name. Go back to bed. So he goes on back to bed and he lays there. And it happens again. Samuel. So he goes back into Eli. And finally, Eli figures out. He says, maybe God's talking to this boy. So he tells Samuel, he said, now here's what you do. I want you to go back to your room. I want you to lay back in your bed. And I want you to listen. He said, if you hear that voice again call out to you, here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And sure enough, it was God trying to speak to Samuel. And we talked about the paradox of life last week and how busy we are. How noisy our lives have become. How many voices we have around us. You know, maybe it's time to turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Unplug the laptop from the internet. Turn off the cell phone. Shut off the iPod. Pull out the earbuds. Turn off the Xbox. Put the romance novel on the bedside table. Fold up the Wall Street Journal. Take the Men's Health or the Cosmo magazine and put it on the coffee table and just be still. And quiet. And listen. Just listen. And maybe when we do that, we too might hear God call our voice or our name. And we might respond. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.